You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to this hour's text to win word and to our next guest, we want to do a little update quick on the four American soldiers who were tragically lost in Lithuania.
I just wanted to say we didn't know about the status of who would be attending. And as far as U.S. Representation, what we can say for sure is that President Trump will not be there, nor will Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Who will be there will be the Lithuanian president, their defense minister, and their archbishop. Pete Hegseth will receive the soldiers at what's called the dignified transfer at Dover Air Force.
Okay.
But once again, President Trump will not be there for that either.
He's at a golf tournament, yeah. So we have priorities. We're going to get to Dan Schaefer from the multi-award-winning recombobulation area in just a moment. But today is the final day for our statewide text to win break into spring contest, playing for either a Chula Vista getaway, some great Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you into the grand prize drawing, a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. So here we go. This hour's word, our last word. This hour's word is wind. W-I-N-D. Not win, not wine. Wind.
Or wind.
Like the wind is blowing, or I'm going to wind my watch.
There it is.
W-I-N-D. Grab your cell phone, open up the Civic Media app, look down to the right-hand side, there's a little text button there. Text in the word wind. W-I-N-D. Wind. This hour, we are playing for those great Brewers club level tickets.
Those are padded seats, people.
They're fabulous seats. They really are. You and I went to a game last year. They're just great. So text in the word wind by noon today. W-I-N-D, just like John from Janesville, DJ from Madison. Ooh, they're coming in. Melissa from Brooklyn, Tammy in Eau Claire. Keep them coming and good luck.
And someone from Butternut.
And say, we're hoping to hear from Butternut just because it makes me happy to know Butternut is there. Text in the word wind, W-I-N-D. He joins us every Friday for a little recombobulating. Dan Schaefer from the multi-award-winning recombobulation area. And we will get to all the congratulations and all the accolades and all those wonderful things a little bit later on in this hour. How you doing, Dan Schaefer?
I'm doing well, Jane. Always wonderful to join you here on Matt Nair on Air. I'm smiling this week. Are you smiling this week?
They're smiling. There might have been some outbreaks of dances of joy, Dan, randomly.
Dan, you look rather combobulated.
I am rather combobulated. I'm much more combobulated than I usually have been.
There it is.
On a Friday as of late.
Well, let's
also just want to mention one thing. I know you have with the text to win contest. Make sure you do it now to make competitive Jane especially happy. Because we want competitive Jane to win this one. So you don't want me to jinx it?
It's like Fight Club. We don't talk about Fight Club. Okay. Don't talk about it. You're going to jinx it.
Okay.
Text in the word wind, W-I-N-D, by noon. And
by
again,
noon.
By noon.
That's right. By noon.
By noon. And you could get those great Brewers Club level tickets. Let's talk about Tuesday's election. It was, if nothing else, and especially because it happened in the swingiest of swing state, Wisconsin, 10 points is a crushing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we were all, 2 years ago when Janet Protasiewicz won by an 11-point margin, it kind of wowed all of us Considering all that went into this race, all the astronomical levels of spending, the fact that Brad Schimmel was running in this race for more than 16 months, the onslaught of Elon Musk money that came in the final stretch, I think this result is even more impressive than the one from two years ago. I think Susan Crawford winning by a double-digit margin is just a tremendously impressive electoral performance here. And, you know, I wrote this column published at the Recombobulation area yesterday. Got to give some credit to the candidate herself here, because I think that, you know, so much of this, we've been talking about this as, you know, the race as a referendum on Elon Musk and the, you know, the changing realignment for turnout in spring election races, all these different narratives that have emerged. I think we got to give some credit to Susan Crawford, the candidate herself. I mentioned in the piece that I wrote that, you know, I was at this event on March 4th. In Milwaukee, where she was, you know, fielding interview questions as a panel discussion for the Milwaukee Press Club and Rotary Club. And it was at that event that it seemed like things really clicked for her. And then, you know, about a week and a half later, she would clearly best Brad Schimmel in the lone debate in the race. And I thought that's when she really hit her groove in the campaign. And I was in Madison, you know, the night before the election, working on some stuff with our team here at Civic Media, was able to check in at a rally kickoff that Crawford was speaking at the Majestic Theater in Madison. And she was just speaking with a lot of confidence and a lot of, you know, just repeating the line that she had said many times. I'm just, you know, I never thought growing up as a little girl in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, that I'd be going up against the richest man in the world. But here we are. And then that line added one more to it. But here we are. But we won.
Yep.
But we won. And they won decisively and convincingly. And, you know, Brad Schimmel was making an early concession, and we had an early call in a Wisconsin Supreme Court race, which doesn't happen often.
I was really surprised by that. I quite honestly thought it was going to be a much closer race, and I fully expected the count not to be finished until well after midnight, and then Brad Schimmel could go to the trope that now Republicans who lose always do, which is blame Milwaukee and the late counting of the ballots, and which is perfectly legal. There's nothing hinky about that. It's been happening for years, and the Republican-controlled legislature could have done something about it, and they chose not to, so they can continue to go back to this as their excuse for losing.
Yep, just your typical Republican election night tantrum.
Yeah.
I guess we've just become pretty accustomed to these over the years. But, you know, I guess credit to Schimmel for conceding and saying that the race was over. Like, it's not exactly a high bar to clear, but we have had a lot of candidates in the state who have not cleared that extraordinarily low bar. So, you know, at least there's that. But yeah, just a really impressive win from Susan Crawford, and got to give some credit to the candidate herself, because she, you know, remained steady throughout a pretty wild campaign cycle, especially that final month. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at I can't remember who published the map, but everywhere in Wisconsin moved to the left on this election. And I'm not going to be naive enough to say, well, that's it. See you later, Donald Trump in 2020, whatever. But as a numbers guy, Dan, who has watched these elections and crunched the numbers and looked at all the trends, what do you think that says about Wisconsin when, and Jane and I have discussed this, we know with a 10-point victory, there are people who voted for Trump who voted for Crawford, because there's something different about the statewide election, especially the judge's race, that says, federal, you're fine, but Elon's too much, and these things are happening. What does it say to you to just see Wisconsin for one night just kind of move to the left a little bit on this matter?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things with it. One is that you have to, I think there is a real Elon backlash effect that was clearly happening in this election. I think people are upset with his role in the federal government. They are upset with DOGE. I think there is elements that this, you know, race became a referendum on Elon Musk, and people maybe not getting what they wanted out of this election result. Another factor, I think, and this is a really important one, is just kind of the realignment that we're seeing in our politics. And I think last year, Trump did especially well with what those of us in the dorky political science community refer to as low propensity voters.
Right.
People who might not show up in midterm elections or vote in their local elections or school board races or whatever it might be. But people who do show up in presidential elections. And so we had really high turnout for the spring election here. Well, I think it was like 2.3 million, million or something like that,
yep.
Which was way ahead of, you know, 2 years ago with the Janet Protasiewicz race. But it still wasn't as high as a presidential election.
No.
And I think that is kind of what we're seeing in the realignment of our politics is like the super high turnout presidential races now benefit Republicans, especially when Donald Trump is on the ballot.
Right.
I think they're going to face a real existential question about whether that coalition exists after Trump himself is no longer on the ballot.
For now.
But at the same time, you have this dynamic where, you know, they have traded, the Republicans have traded some of those lower propensity voters that helped them win presidential elections. But the other side of the coin is that some of the more reliable every election voters are now shifting more Democratic. And so I think, you know, education has been a big, big factor in this. Like the higher levels of education you have, the more likely you are to vote in every election. And now the more likely you are to vote Democratic. So I think, you know, Democrats now have this sweet spot for turnout in some of these races in I think midterms and high turnout spring elections and other low turnout special elections that I think Democrats are going to have a built-in advantage for. And this election had such high turnout, it was more like a midterm election.
Yes.
My friend Aaron Moriak, who breaks down election results, noted that Susan Crawford got more raw votes in the 2025 special election in a winning effort than Scott Walker did in 2018 in the midterms in a losing effort. So I think that's just goes to show how many people really turned out for this race. It was at midterm election level turnout. And I think that is kind of going to be a sweet spot for Democrats. And I think is something that we should remember looking ahead to the midterms in 26.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And one of our listeners just suggested, let's give a little love to Jill Underley as well. We'll do that on the other side when we come back. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. The word this hour, by the way, texted in is wind, not whimmed. Wind, W-I-N-D. Stay close. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, the final day of our statewide text to win break into spring contest. The hour you want to text in. The word you want to text in this hour, words are tricky. You have to put them in the right order. The word this hour is wind, W-I-N-D. The word is wind. Text in the word wind by noon today via the Civic Media app, and you could pick up some great club-level tickets to go see our Milwaukee Brewers, just like Oscar from Madison and Cindy from Poinette. and Tom from Sun Prairie. And we want to give a shout out to Steve from Hayward, who said, let's talk about Jill Underlie's win. She deserves some recognition. So she really was not very visible during this race. I didn't think.
This was an interesting race for this seat.
Very different than many of the races that we've seen for state superintendent for quite some time. So I wrote a piece about this, about the race after the primary, when it was, you know, shaping up to be Jill Underlie versus Brittany Kinzer. And I thought, you know, given some of the larger dynamics of this race, I thought it could be much closer than what we've seen in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
It had been since the 1990s that the race for this office was decided by a single digit margin. Tony Evers regularly won by pretty wide margins when he was state superintendent. And you know, I think most of the kind of democratically aligned candidates have typically done better with this. But this was a close race. I mean, Brittany Kinzer obviously had a lot of money behind her race, but she was out campaigning everywhere. And like you said, Underlie, you know, a quieter campaign, certainly compared to the Crawford and the Wisconsin mm-hmm. Supreme Court race, but able to pull off the victory. You know, and I think some of the geography of this race was pretty interesting to me. The geography of the results, Underlie did better than Crawford in a number of western Wisconsin counties, but did significantly worse in the Milwaukee metro area.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you look at the wow counties, you look at Milwaukee County in particular, I think Underlie was at like 76% or something like that in Milwaukee County. And Underlie was at, Crawford was at like 76% and Underlie was at 67%. So she ran pretty well behind Crawford in the Milwaukee metro area. I think some of the issues that Milwaukee schools
sure.
have been having certainly plays into that. But I think, you know, I think in a lot of rural areas in the state in western Wisconsin, you know, the people are pretty reliant on their public schools and want to make sure that they are electing a champion for public schools to this office. And I think, you know, that's ultimately the decision that Wisconsin voters made.
Well, and it goes back to, Dan, too, I think people just being aware of what this would mean for them. And we've talked a lot about how, for the most part, people like their own public school. It's, you know, MPS is terrible, or that system, you know, that school system is terrible, but mine, I like mine. And
mine
I think
is great.
But I think that really resonates. And as you said, especially for rural areas who do not have a lot of educational opportunities. Brittany Kinzer obviously being a big advocate for school choice and charter schools. And I think the more people learned about that, it's like, well, what's going to happen to my public school if they decide to start pushing more charters or more vouchers?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And it's like one of these polling things that if you poll, how do you feel about public schools? People are, you know, meh, whatever. How do you feel about my public school? Oh, well, I love it.
Right.
I love my school in my backyard. And I think that is, you know, a really important factor for these kinds of races. But, this was a close race. The fact that it was closer than the Supreme Court race, if you had told me that on Monday, that I would have been surprised. I thought Underlie, from some of the sources that I was talking to and all that, thought Underlie would probably, just based on incumbency, based on a number of factors, run a little bit ahead of Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she ran a few points behind Crawford, I think, is significant. And especially like in the Milwaukee metro area and in southeastern Wisconsin, I think two of the counties, you guys are there right now in Racine,
right?
That Crawford won, that have been trending red in recent elections, were Racine and Kenosha counties. Those are also both counties that were won by Brittany Kinzer. So I think there is something going on here with southeastern Wisconsin more generally as it applies to, you know, just making decisions on education.
I mean, we only have a few minutes left here. Really quick, did you get any insight from anybody in her campaign why she kept so low on the radar? I mean, we talked, Brittany Kinzer, I heard her more on civic media than Jill Underlie, and it just doesn't see, as you said, it was sort of like her election to lose. I just don't understand the strategy.
Look, she won, but I don't think she ran a very good campaign.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there were stumbling blocks with Kinzer's campaign too, but the fact that she was every forum event panel mm-hmm. interview that was out there, she seemed to be saying yes to. I think that's a better strategy to be out there and visible for people. So I don't know.
I think also Brittany Kinzer, and I'm not saying Jill Underly isn't, but I think Brittany Kinzer is truly passionate about education. You could see it in her interviews. This wasn't some like, you know, empty shirt being
she's
put
not
up.
An Eric Hovde.
Exactly. She has a mission for education. It just didn't align with a lot of people. But right. Yeah, Brittany Kinzer, I mean, her campaign, she got out there, shook hands with everyone, talked to everyone, and I'm really surprised Jill Underly won.
Well, if you look at some of the right-wing publications, their take on this is that Brett Schimmel lost because anger drove liberals and some independents.
Sure.
So it's just anger.
I'm
that's
so
that's
mad.
The only thing that motivated people, apparently.
Empty anger. Not anger based on, like, things that are happening that are bad.
No.
Just...
all
anger.
Elections, people voted for Trump because they were mad. People voted for Obama because they were mad. People vote because they're mad.
Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. When we return from the news, it's a segment we call Audio Sorbet. We're going to lighten things up a little bit and talk about your favorite bad movie.
Yeah.
Your favorite bad movie. I'll give you mine just by telling you two of the characters or the two of the actors, Charlton Heston and Anthony Zerbe. Best bad movies.
All right.
That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You still have time to text in the word WIND, W-I-N-D. Wind is the word you want to text in using the Civic Media app. It's all part of our statewide text to win break into spring contest. This hour, we are playing for some great Brewers club level seats. So text in the word wind, W-I-N-D. You have until noon. Get your name in there. Everyone who enters, whether or not you win the hourly prize, you're going to pick. You are also entered for the grand prize, a queen size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. So text in the word wind by noon today, just like Chris and Michael in Tosa and Jill in Maguanago. Love seeing these come in. Charles in Milwaukee, Karina in Milwaukee, Amanda from Middleton, and many, many more. Text in the word wind, W-I-N-D. Your next chance to play going to be with Todd Alba in the 1 o'clock hour, and then join Dom Salvia today.
Yes.
From 4 to 6 p.m.
Yes.
Today is Dom's last day. It's all good. It's all good. This is not a bad parting of the ways.
Yeah.
Don has just accepted another opportunity. But join Dom today from 4 to 6 p.m. for his final show.
He's moving to Butternut.
My new favorite place. I have never been. Yes.
Sorry, Amory.
We are joined every Friday at this time by Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Before we get to the best bad movies, Dan, I did want to give you a shout out. I flew out of Mitchell International about 2 weeks ago, and I had a lot of time, so I was talking to the woman at the information desk, Nicola. Lovely woman. If you ever have time to kill, talk to her. She's fantastic. We talked for a half an hour. But she said people ask all the time where the recombobulation area is because they want to take a picture.
That's incredible.
Isn't that cool?
That's incredible. We started a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing.
In other news, local award-winning journalist Dan Schaefer was arrested at the airport for screaming Nicola all over the place. I'm looking for Nicola.
But yeah, if you go through the airport, take a picture by the recombobulation area and put it on the socials and tag Dan Schaefer in the recombobulation area. It's pretty great. Briefly, let's talk about your 412,000 awards you guys just got.
All right. Yeah, we did. We're very excited. We won 6 Milwaukee Press Club Awards.
Well done.
This year. The most we've won in a year. Very excited about a couple of the pieces that I was really proud of, particularly the feature story I wrote in the Fox Valley right before the election, and another piece of breaking news about the RNC. So I was very excited that those two got recognized in particular, and also very excited for contributor Angela Lang, who was honored in now back-to-back years.
That's
in
great.
The best single editorial category. So shout out and congratulations to Angela as well.
I sent her this text last night. I said, so I have a question for you. When you win yet another award for your writing, can I look you in the eyes directly? Do I have to refer to you as Miss Lang, or do I send all my correspondence via carrier pigeon or fancy letters?
She's reached that level now.
Yeah, she is.
She's reached that level now.
We're talking to important people here. Important people.
All right. Speaking of things that are not important. This is not important, but it is our segment, Calvin, that we like to call Audio Sorbet. Little cleansing for your ear away from all the politics and all the serious things, and we just like to lighten things up a little bit and take a breath. So here is your question. What is your favorite bad movie? Best bad movie. If it comes on the TV, no matter how many times you've seen it, you will sit down and watch it anyway. What is your favorite bad movie? 855-752-4842. We have a clip from one of my favorite bad movies. Calvin, play this clip, please, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Because the last man on Earth is not alone.
The movie is The Omega Man with Charlton Heston and Anthony Zerbe. And if you're my age, you know who that is. Anthony Zerbe was a villain in just about everything he ever played. But the movie The Omega Man is from 1971. It's so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad. And yet, you can't look away. It's like, I have to watch this because now it makes me laugh. And it was intended to be a warning of, poisons in the air, and there was a worldwide plague that killed just about everybody except for Charlton Heston and Anthony Zerbe's group of crazies, and they have to duke it out. But Omega Man, check it out.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just for the fashions, because again, it was from 1971, so the clothing, the hairstyles, and even the musical soundtrack from this film It's the epitome of the 70s.
It's not a futuristic setting. It's like all set in that
in the 70s.
Era.
Yeah, it's oh, yeah. It's okay. Yes. Oh,
the
yes.
The dystopian 70s.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can tell just by what they're wearing and the hairstyles. It's hilarious. 855-752-4842, your favorite bad movie.
It's funny you said that. You picked Charlton Heston and then Omega Man for like being a movie with a
dystopian
message. Someone else, but I'm trying to find it. They put Soylent Green on there too. Charlton Heston. And I don't know what they were trying to tell us, but it had one of the greatest lines ever. Calvin, the Soylent Green clip.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them Silent Green is people!
What?
We gotta stop them!
I remember that movie. I saw it in the theater.
Soylent Green is... Sorry for the spoilers, folks.
Soylent Green, another great... That had to also be from the 1970s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston...
Thanks, Greg. I was just going to watch that. Now you've ruined it.
855-752-4842, your favorite bad movie. Cam from Appleton has been very patient on the line. Good morning, Cam. What's your flick?
Good morning, you guys. I am tied for a few, but the Chinese bootleg version of Planet of the Apes, that one is pretty self-explanatory. That one blows my mind.
More Charlton Heston.
Directed and produced and written by one Tommy Wiseau, a director that nobody has any idea what his origins are or if it's true or not. And then lastly, Birdemic, which sounds exactly like how it is, except you sit there wondering the entire movie, how did this many people get together and make a movie and edit it and not ask each other, why are we doing this?
Is this a good idea? Maybe we shouldn't.
Shut up. Stop asking questions.
Birdemic. I'm gonna seek that one out, Cam. That's hilarious.
You know how sometimes people will say, well, I saw everything in the trailer. I feel like the movie Birdemic, I don't need to see it now. I just heard the word.
Oh, I think but the details, I bet, to that movie are fantastic.
I picked a movie that I grew up watching all the time as a kid, and I truly believe it's a wonderful film, but I understand why people might think it's bad. Calvin, please play the clip for my film.
The Leroy Green I'm looking for. The little punk thinks he's a kung fu master.
I am no master.
You sure look like a master to me.
This is Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. It's about the power of the glow.
What does that mean? We don't know.
The power of the glow?
Yes, Jane, the glow.
A Productions picture from TriStar.
It is a 1980s kung fu movie made by Berry Gordy. It takes place in Harlem, New York. And yes, it is awesome. And yes, you can borrow it.
The Last
Dragon.
The Last Dragon.
Starring Prince Protege Vanity.
855-752-4842, your favorite bad movie. What can you just not pull yourself away from? Matt from Middleton says, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That's a terrifying movie when you watch it when you're seven.
And I love that it's K's. Killer with a K, clown with a K. Yep. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. People being shot with a ray gun that wraps them in cotton candy. It is classic.
Yep. Jill in Green Bay, Paul Blart Mall Cop. I'll take your Paul Blart and say Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
I think that's fair. Megan from Sun Prairie, my family will sit down for any bad shark sea creature movie. The Meg, the Sharknado series, they are so bad that they're good.
Bridget asked me to watch The Meg, and we got halfway through it, and I was like, can I be done with this now? Because this is dumb. I hate this. And I don't do that for most movies. I make it through. I asked Dan what his favorite bad movie is, and your response was Independence Day, which I don't think is a bad movie, but I get it. But then you said any 90s disaster movie.
Yes.
So I found something.
So this is my favorite category of enjoyably bad movie is the 90s disaster movie. They often came in tandem. It was like Armageddon and Deep Impact,
yep.
Volcano and Dante's Peak. So many terrific 90s disaster movies. There's been a few recent ones that have like reached the heights. San Andreas with The Rock was another terrific, enjoyably bad 90s disaster movie style. But Independence Day is either the best bad movie of all time or the worst legitimately good movie of all time. And it might be my favorite movie of all time. And video live stream watchers can see over my shoulder, I have a signed photo, signed print from Independence Day, signed by Jeff Goldblum.
Wow.
That one of my very good friends got for me as a gift recently.
Oh, that's awesome.
A huge fan.
We're gonna take a moment away from the Bill Pullman movie that is Independence Day. We're going to switch. I found a clip from a Bill Paxton movie, which I think is also very good. Calvin, please play Dan's clip.
Storm chasers.
So let's go.
All right, we're moving.
Scientists have been studying tornadoes forever, but still nobody knows how a tornado works.
We have touchdown. Tornado is on the ground.
It's the wonder of nature.
A young Philip Seymour Hoffman right there.
Sensors take scientific measurements.
You got to get in front of the tornado and put it in the damage path.
You've got to get further ahead of it.
I know what I'm doing.
Have you lost your nerve?
Tighten your seatbelt.
It's at 2 o'clock. It's heading this way.
The storm's going to be a lot bigger than we anticipated.
Cow, I got to go, Julia. We got cows.
I love that line.
Yeah.
I've used that line.
We've got cows.
We've got cows.
Another cow. I think it's the same cow. That is brilliant writing right there. But I saw Twister in the theater, and I told Jane before the show, it felt like that. I felt like the roof was going to be torn off. You felt like there was a storm outside. And then you watch it on TBS, you're like, that's so scary. That's so scary.
A classic of the genre, though. And
yes.
I love Twister. It's one of my favorites. There's one line in there where they're, you know, they're like talking about Bill Paxton as like the guy who understands storms or whatever.
It's a storm
Somebody
whisper.
Goes up to him and they call him the human barometer.
Yeah.
Which, like, what a line. What a ridiculous line. human barometer.
Michael, on the live stream, my favorite bad movie, A Polish Vampire in Burbank. I looked it up. It is a film. Another one we'll have to check out. And real quickly, Tom from West Dallas is on the line. You're going to be the last one we have time for. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Hi there. I would say Boondock Saints. I said this over St. Patty's Day. And I heard that thing about it, and just let you know, Boondock Saints 3 is going to be coming out, I think,
yep. Because we never learn our lesson, Tom.
Right.
We never learn our lesson. Tom, really quick, if you're listening still, if you love Boondock Saints, watch the documentary overnight about the director and the writer and how he single-handedly destroyed his career in a matter of a year. Destroyed it.
Worth it. Also, Adam from Oregon listening in Madison texting in, bad movie, Bong Water. Cast including Luke Wilson, Jack Black, and the late Brittany Murphy.
Well, oh, the Monster Squad. That was a great movie.
Bong Water. You can't go wrong with
yeah.
that. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Don't forget, wind is the word. You have just a couple of minutes.
Jake from Milwaukee, you misspelled it. Wind, W-I-N-D.
W-I-N-D. Text in the word wind. We're playing for those
just
Brewers
like the Twister.
Tickets.
Wind.
Exactly. Wind. W-I-N-D. We'll come back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the Hey Kitty Kitty edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, let's throw in a balcony.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget WIND, W-I-N-D. That is the word you want to text in via the Civic Media app, all part of our statewide Text to Win Break Into Spring contest. We are playing for those great Brewers Club level seats. So enter, just like Cindy from Wausau and Nancy from Madison, Randy from Spooner, just with a nice text. Love the station. Thank you so much, Randy. We really appreciate that. Ron from Oregon and Gary from Gillingham and Sid from Ridgeway. Keep them coming in. Wind is the word this hour. W-I-N-D. Good luck. Your next chance, 1 o'clock with Todd Alba, and then 4 p.m. with Dom Salvia. Just really quickly, too, I want to mention this. There are about 1,000 rallies and marches set for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
These are grassroots groups that have said that April 5th is about, hey, folks, let's all come together in one day and show the power of our voices and ensure our voices are heard about what we're seeing coming out of this administration. So we will include this link in the show notes. I know there are several happening around Wisconsin. It's happening tomorrow, and I expect there's going to be big turnout around the country. Right now, it is 11:53. Calvin, it's getting tight. It is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays at civicmedia.us from upi.com. Ben Hooper, we're going to track him down.
Yeah, we got to put it on payroll.
And get him on the show. Headline reads, Nevada man says seven seized tigers were emotional support animals.
What's the problem here? I don't see any problem.
Authorities in Nevada seized seven tigers from a property. The owner of the big cats claimed they are his emotional support animals. The Nye County Sheriff's Office worked with Animal Services to execute a search warrant at the home of Carl Mitchell, owner of Big Cats Entertainment. Mr. Mitchell was being evicted from the property, and the owner of the property was not being allowed onto the property to inspect. We've known for several years Mitchell had big cats on his property for the last 2 years. This was in violation because he didn't have permits for it. Mitchell was initially cooperative, eventually ended up getting arrested for resisting. After physically struggling with a deputy, he should have gone and petted one of his big cats, and yes, then he might not have been so upset. Our intention was to seize the cats, according to the sheriff's office, number one, for public safety, number two, for the safety of the cats, and then he went and struggled with the deputy. Mitchell, who is now out on bond, says the tigers are his emotional support animals. Quote, the animals did not deserve to be snatched up, knocked out with drugs, shipped across the country when they were happy and content where they had lived for more than 10 years. I'm a 100% disabled veteran with PTSD. The VA and my doctors have approved the tigers to work as support animals. Mitchell said six of these tigers were rescued from Joe Exotic. Remember Joe Exotic?
Oh, I remember the lockdown.
Tiger King?
Yeah.
Tiger King. So we will see what happens, but I think this is kind of done.
Well, I just love any story that comes out of Pahrump, Nevada.
Pahrump?
Pahrump.
Pahrump.
That is not a made-up name, folks. Pahrump, Nevada.
It is actually a thing. Yeah. Unfortunate that he lost his support animals. Maybe try a dog.
Maybe try therapy, bro. I don't know. I was just...
Or a kitten.
Yeah, a tiny cat. Tiny cats.
Tiny cats. That'll work for you, too. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Oh, Megan from Sun Prairie texting and listening in Madison on WMDX. I love audio sorbet, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing so very much. Nice. Thank you, Megan. We love that.
We love it, too. We hope it works as well for you as it does for us.
We just think it's really important to take a little break.
Yes.
And have a little laugh, because... If I can't laugh about some of this stuff, I will have to climb the tower in the back of the studio and throw myself off. And I'd rather not do that.
Well, that's enough for the audio sorbet, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week. Oof.
It's fine. Coming up on the show on Monday, we're hoping we're going to have another Beyond the Cheese.
Yes.
Featuring shoemaking in Wisconsin.
Cobblery.
Ooh, like that. So stick around for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. Mm-hmm. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4. Make sure you join Dom today from 4 to 6 for his final show here on Civic Media. And keep it close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.